To understand the laws governing life, we must accept the Zen concept of universal motion. Motion always reveals itself through change. As motion is eternal, change is inevitable. Man is an ever-changing being in an ever-changing world. Yet with his mind, he fears and resists change. Zen insight helps us to meet the motions of life graciously and wisely. In our daily living, this concept of motion gives us a new perspective on life. While it does not mean an obvious change in what we do, it does mean a change in the attitude behind what we do. If we believe in a moving universe, if we believe that it is perfectly right and proper that things should change, we are released from this desperate effort to prevent experiences that cannot be prevented. One way to understand motion as it applies to personal affairs is to remember the way we were living 20 or 30 years ago, the house where we dwelt, the people we knew, and the patterns which made up our families and friendships. As we visualize these bygone days, we see many faces in our minds that are no longer with us in this world, situations that have broken up and vanished, old houses that have been torn down to make room for freeways, quiet gardens where great buildings now stand. Day by day, the irresistible motion of life itself has wrought these changes. Zen points out that in this mundane sphere, the new must come to us and the old depart, for there can be nothing changeless but change itself. As the Zen monk remembers the faces he no longer sees, he realizes that someday his own face will be among those no longer to be seen. He is not saddened by this thought, but accepts it with perfect faith as proper, necessary, and good. This constant appearing and disappearing of things is not an endless pageantry of sorrow and loss, but continuing evidence of the perfect working of universal law. In a world of eternal motion, man himself cannot stand still. Like the earth with all its creatures, he is moving through time and space, from an unknowable beginning to an unknown end. He's in a state of ever becoming that which he has not yet attained, and ever outgrowing that which he has already attained. Man grows because the self within him grows, and this self becomes a little wiser every day. He would be in a forlorn condition indeed if the rhythm of life did not impel him to move along the road that leads beyond the stars. Western philosophies have generally considered the ego, or self, as a conscious and permanent entity to which all experiences occur. Thus the world around men is ever changing, but the being within is ever the same. Such a concept naturally leads to an aggressive attitude toward life. The emphasis is upon individual achievement, even at the expense of common good. As the captain of his own destiny, each man tries with every skill at his disposal to steer his little ship to a safe haven across the troubled sea of living. In most cases, however, the journey ends in a psychological confusion, which might be likened to cosmic seasickness. There is something sad in this idea of a lonely Superman struggling desperately to advance his own purposes in a universe that he can neither conquer nor comprehend. Zen does not accept the concept of a fixed and unchanging ego. What we term the self is the constantly unfolding sum of our own experiences. We are not the same person that we were 10 years ago, or even yesterday. Because we are part of a moving life force, the motion of consciousness has no fixed boundaries. We are always free to adjust to new situations. We attain peace of mind by reducing the demands of the ego, and by relaxing away from the pressure of those self-purposes which open us to pain and trouble. Instead of thinking of the self as being divided from all other selves, it is wiser to readjust our thinking and seek ways to become one with the eternal motion of all life through time and space. There is a tendency to assume that all change leads to death, and that beyond death there is only uncertainty. In Zen thinking, however, death is not the end, but a release from restraint against change. It is freedom, the restoration of motion, the being again relieved of the temporary barrier of placeness, to return to the infinite state of spaceness, which is its natural home. If, therefore, we accept this Zen concept, we will overcome one of the great obstacles to our peace of mind. We will realize that change is the gate of infinite opportunity, freeing us from old limitations and bringing us new friends and new experiences. Zen also teaches us that the mental nature is not the faithful servant of some immortal entity locked within us. The human mind is a mixed blessing. It resists change, falls into moods, remembers old grudges, and binds us to the mistaken opinions of the past. Because each person has a mind, there are as many private schemes in this world as there are people. When everyone tries desperately to force his own desires upon others, the end must be frustration and discontent. In Zen, tolerance is not the grudging admission that others may be right, but the clear realization that we may be wrong. The Eastern mystic fully realizes that the only reformer who is popular is the one who is improving himself. We can escape the negative consequences of self-will, self-interest, and self-pity only if our mental instrument is properly disciplined. It takes a great deal of courage to attain detachment from the tyranny of self-centeredness, but the victory is well worth the cost. In order that the mind may perform its proper functions, it must be brought under the discipline of universal purpose. The old sages have given us the formula: unless the body is controlled, the emotions cannot be regulated. Unless the emotions are regulated, the mind cannot be governed. And unless the mind is governed, there can be no release from suffering. Thus we must constantly change for the better if we wish to live in harmony with the eternal purpose. That we have the power to change is truly the secret of our salvation, and for this power we should be forever grateful. Long ago, a practical code setting forth the basic rules for enlightened conduct was given to the world. As we advance along the path of self-discipline, this code will help us to understand the quiet dignity of the Zen life way. It has been written, "The foundation of personal security is harmony. When individuals cultivate friendliness among themselves, the resulting concord makes possible the immediate solution of all problems and the rapid advancement of all concerned. When men work together, what cannot be accomplished? When the supreme object of faith is noble, sufficient, and acceptable, it provides a refuge in the heart against all corruption. Revere, therefore, this just law, and by so doing, reveal the nobility of your nature and your convictions. Let the significance of honorable conduct be deeply considered. All things must be done in honor and by honor, or they will not endure. If the people observe good faith one with another, no disaster is to be feared. It is proper to be constantly mindful of the virtues and abilities of others. Be ever watchful, therefore, lest skill or wisdom be wasted because you have not observed it in another person. Be glad when it is your privilege to reward another because of his merit. All men should live and think moderately, so that they will not be inspired to advance their own estates through exploiting their privileges or dealing unfairly with other men. Deal impartially and with uprightness of heart with those around you, and be not over-influenced by the wealth or worldly honor of your associates. If it happens that we envy others, they in turn will be encouraged to envy us. The evil results of these envies are without limit. Let us therefore seek diligently for those more intelligent than ourselves, for these are the greater protectors of the common good. Be very careful, therefore, to bestow appreciation upon those who deserve praise. It may happen that we refrain from mutual helpfulness for selfish motives, This leads to many difficulties and weakens the bonds of men's friendships. When we speak, it is wise to express, but never with intent to impress. Words are messengers, not soldiers. When we tell what we have done, we talk of the dead. When we tell what we will do, we speak of the unborn. We reveal the present by conduct, not by words. Let us never demand that which is unreasonable, and always reveal concern for the happiness and security of those around us. It is a serious fault to be unmindful of the lowly. How can we take upon ourselves to distinguish that which is absolutely right from that which is absolutely wrong? We are one with another, wise and foolish, like a ring that has no end. If, therefore, others rise to anger or give way to resentment, let us be more fearful of our own faults and more anxious to correct them than to change the ways of others. At first thought, these ancient rules, with their emphasis upon the basic virtues of right conduct, may not seem especially profound. But remember that Zen is a path of immediate action by which conduct leads directly to enlightenment. It is not a panacea for the disillusioned, an escape for the neurotic, or a fascinating adventure for the bored intellectual. It is a straight road leading to the solution of the problems of human ignorance and unhappiness. Zen begins with the simplest and most difficult of all codes, the code of self-control. Although the mastery of Zen is the labor of a lifetime, the experience of Zen is possible to any individual who is able to attain tranquility of heart and mind. What is most necessary is a continuing acceptance of the eternal wisdom and beauty in the world and in our own hearts. As the Zen mood is strengthened within us, we experience a wonderful kinship with all that lives. In that perfect quietude which is true meditation, our faith is renewed, and we know, as a certainty of consciousness, the purpose for existence and our own place in a timeless plan. The spirit of Zen confers this certainty of good, which helps to make life a peaceful and friendly span of years. By freeing the mind from the burden of small thoughts, there is more time and energy for the accomplishment of worthwhile things. The heart is no longer disturbed by fear or remorse, and can enjoy the rich experiences of true friendship and affection. It is natural for the bird to sing and the flower to bloom, and it is equally proper that we should all bring joy to ourselves and others. There is an old legend of a saintly monk who took walks in the forest, and wherever he placed his feet, wood violets grew. Let something of this mystery touch each of us. Let our paths through the years be marked with those beauties of the soul, which not only bear witness to our own attainment, but guide the footsteps of all who come after. To live in concord with our neighbor, to share the kindly wisdom of the sky and earth, to be impelled to love the beautiful and serve the good, and to face all the changes in life with serenity and hope. To so live every day is to abide in the spirit of Zen.